Hello everybody and welcome back to the Grid Washers podcast, episode number 33. I do say 32 in the video, unfortunately my mistake, but of course reviewing the Monaco Grand Prix that happened this weekend. We also talk about F1 2018, F1 Fantasy, Grid Girls and Boys back on the grid, and a whole host of other topics. If you are new to the podcast, make sure you subscribe and like the video on YouTube. Follow us on iTunes and follow us all on our social media, which will be down in the description of the YouTube video. Hopefully you enjoy, share the podcast out. We want as many people listening and interacting with us as possible. As well, if you want to join our F1 Fantasy League, that will be down in the YouTube description as well. Hopefully you enjoyed today's episode, and I'll see you next week for a brand new video. Hello everybody and welcome back to the Grid Watchers podcast, episode number 32, to review the Monaco Grand Prix that happened today. And I'm joined, as usual, by Semba, Rixon and Causa. And guys, I personally was pleasantly surprised by the Monaco Grand Prix. I know Rixon is going to disagree with me instantly, but
a huge shock.
I'd give it a solid, like, 7 out of 10.
I mean, I enjoyed the race, but I wouldn't quite go that high. I'd give it a good 6. But I did enjoy the race. It was tense, and then you had Max overtaking, and there was lots of bits going on. So I actually was thoroughly surprised by it being actually half decent.
It's just a typical Monaco Grand Prix, as I swear to put it. Really difficult to overtake. It wasn't the worst race I've ever seen. It was definitely boring. It hasn't been the most boring race this season either, but...
No.
Without the Hypersoft tyre, it would have been very dull. So it's good they've brought the Hypersoft tyre in. Whoever was chatting shit on Twitter saying that the Hypersoft could go 77 laps, like, no.
That was from Pirelli.
It must be, like, just literally, like, stupid, like, seriously. But no, I think it was good. Once we've seen, and there was no safety car as well, which... I suppose.
They had a short virtual safety car, but that was it.
Yeah, it lasted about like 10 seconds, didn't it? And then they just went, actually, we don't need one, and took it away and just did it under...
I thought they were going to bring out the full-on safety car, but then I think they were like, well, where are we supposed to go? Because the debris was on track, but on Monaco, you got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
You can't, like, say... Oh, we'll drive a bit more to the left or a bit more to the right because there was space. So I think that's why it's a virtual safety car.
Yeah. Well, let's just start with the man who won, Daniel Ricciardo. I mean, one of the more impressive. Do we think that his win was less impressive because it was Monaco and because there was the lack of chances to actually get past him? Because he was running on, I think it was like 70% power or something because he had an issue on lap 13, but. I mean, it's still quite good to finish a race and, well, win the race with a broken car at Monaco anyway.
Yeah, it was a great win, well managed. But, and I mean, hats off to Ricciardo, he did really well. But if it would happen at Spain or Canada, it would have been pointless carrying on with like 160 horsepower less. But here in Monaco, you could just give it a go and see how it goes. And it turned out well. So, I don't know.
I think the thing is...
It's been terrorized. Yeah. Because it was Monaco. And even when you've got full power, it's really hard to overtake.
Yeah, very true.
I think any other track, he would have got smoked. But he got very lucky that he got the issues that... So...
I think... The thing is if you looked at the onboard on Vettel, at the end of every straight, it was catching him by like a considerable amount. So, you know, you could argue that Sebastian, if he did actually get close enough, which, you know, Verstappen and etc. did, then he almost could have just driven around him because he was so slow at the straight. Also, at one point in the middle of that race, with those issues, he was pulling away from Hamilton on the same tyre. But with 160 horsepower less. So if you compare it to that, then you could say that, in fairness, I think Danny Rick managed it really well and he did deserve his win.
Yeah, it seemed... Did anyone know what... Because Vettel seemed to be having some sort of issue because he did drop back eventually. Was it
After the virtual safety car, he had a poor warm-up, and then when the virtual safety car ended, he just couldn't keep up with him. But I was just reading up on the interview where, like, he does say that you know, it's mostly because the Red Bull car was, like, really, really, how do you say it? Well, on top of its game, wasn't it? Like, all weekend.
Mm.
And he said, like, you know, we were struggling a bit with the tires and in the tight corners that, like, apparently, who was it? Hamilton had some issues with his tires. So did Vettel. They spoke with Ricciardo. He had zero issues whatsoever. So, like, in the tight corners, he couldn't keep up because he didn't have the grip. And then, well, straights, yeah, I mean, even if you have 160 horsepower more, there's not that many straights, is there?
Hmm.
I don't know.
I think, in fairness, for Danny Richter to win the Monaco Grand Prix in the way he did after the issues he had 2 years ago and everything, I think it's sort of fitting that he did it in that way. And, you know, it sort of cements itself as actually being probably one of the best drivers on the grid that he's able to do that. And I think Christian Horner mentioned it when he was talking to Sky after the race, that as soon as he had an issue, a lot of people, like, for example, Max Verstappen, he came with the engine saying, "I've got a loss of power," and was calm and just went, "What can I do?" Rather than Max would have had, like, some sort of fit and a frenzy, and then he wouldn't have won that race if Verstappen had the same issue in that position.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. He was really, really calm about it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a well-deserved win. I mean, he's a great driver. I think all four of us agree on that.
Yeah, and it's interesting with the way he won today, because when I was watching both Sky and Channel 4, and they were both debating whether he'll stay with Red Bull again.
He'll stay for another year.
We did talk about it, I think, two podcasts ago about how he wouldn't fit in with Ferrari and maybe Mercedes, but Bottas seems to be turning up the heat now at Mercedes. So, yeah, I think he probably will stay at Red Bull. I can't really see him moving. I think he works at Red Bull anyway.
Yeah, I don't see it's just,
I don't think that car's a... If he wants to win World Championships, he'll leave, because that Red Bull car is not going to be a championship car.
Yeah, but Red Bull are partnered with the best designer in the world, with Adrian Newey.
Agreed. That's why they won this race.
You say that, but because they can, you know, bring a car that looks nice or whatever, doesn't mean they're actually going to win anything. Because you need power, and without a power unit that's good, they aren't going to win. If he, like I said, if he wants to win a world championship, he'll leave and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
To with the teams that he could go to, but if he's serious about winning one soon, he best leave. That's my opinion. I know there'll be a lot of people who will say differently, but he's got no chance.
In fairness, I'm inclined to agree with you, Rickson. I think that if he wants to guarantee himself a chance at winning a world championship, unless Red Bull can ram a load of upgrades on at the end of this year and show good signs looking into next year, then I can see Danny Rick having to move. And I can see the next time Red Bull being as competitive as they were from 2010 to 2013 being when these new engine regulations come in and Renault actually become like half decent at producing an engine.
I think the only time Red Bull will be good again is if they scrap Renault. I think that's pretty much the same with any car that's really running Renault engines. I just think they just aren't as good as Merck. They just really, like, it's just, that's how it is, and you can't do anything differently because the facts are right there in front of you. You know, Red Bull won at Monaco because it's like you don't need a good engine, you know. You just need to be very good in the corners, and Red Bull is that. And
yeah, chassis better.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Monaco need a good chassis. They can't win two races a year being Monaco and Singapore because of their chassis, and potentially Hungary as well.
You aren't going to win a championship if you only win two races, and if Max wants to win a world championship as well, which he obviously will at some point, because the guy's a fucking animal. As much as I hate him, he's an animal.
He will win one because he's got plenty of time on his side. He will win one.
He's like how old? 13? Like, he's got loads of time.
I mean, he's 20, but he might as well be.
He's probably 13 because he acts like a 13-year-old. What? Yeah. He said that.
Talking about Max, of course, he did crashing in FP3 and that essentially ruined his Monaco Grand Prix. He did finish in the points in the end. But my thinking was, Max didn't push massively too hard today, and he finished the race with the car fully intact. Do you think the light is finally switched on with him, and he's going, right, I got to change my driving style now? And, you know, because before he was all over the place, you know, we saw in Azerbaijan, we saw in China. Do you think the light has finally clicked in his head?
Well, he's told him to change the way he drives, because... So I was really looking forward to the race, especially having Max starting from last, because I was expecting him to dive it up as like seven drivers going into one corner. But like he said, no, something must have been said to him, or
yeah,
he's realised that P3 cost him maybe winning, because Red Bull was so dominant. And I think he's
on podium at least.
Yeah, he's definitely realised now that he's got to stop practice. Like, practice is called practice for a reason, and you know, you're doing more laps, so you are more likely to crash. He's got to realise that why to do it, just go all out and crash all the time, because as we saw today, you know, his gearbox got fucked, and that was his own fault. But I did see somewhere that he came out and said, actually, that he knew that it was his fault, and like you said, he needs to change the way he's behaving on track. So hopefully this is the start of me actually somewhat liking him as a driver, and he starts behaving, but I can't exactly see that happening. It was solid, but I think he could have done a few more cheeky moves to get himself further up.
You think he should have gone back to just being a little bit dive up the inside and see what happens rather than...
When you're starting from last, and there's loads of people like me watching who like to see a good crash, you should have just done it for the sake of us.
I mean, we saw a decent crash at the end, but it wasn't a Max Verstappen style crash.
No, but I mean, you guys know I'm a Max fan. And when yesterday afternoon, I couldn't watch F1. But when I loaded up Twitter and I saw one crash Verstappen joke, I was like, no, he didn't. Yeah. And then you start scrolling down and you're like, oh, fucking hell, he did. And then you look at your clock and you're like, wait, what? It's not even qualifying yet. Where did he... Oh, free practice. Oh, great. Here we go.
You cannot
prepare for the savagery of people on Twitter. It's unreal.
But it's most shocking about that. It was the exact same thing he did last year. The exact same. Line for line.
Side by side video.
Yeah, besides the side video.
It's the same clip. The same thing.
Even his own fans are now like, oh, please don't do it. And then it used to be, you know, watch Formula One for relaxation and a bit of, you know, your own time. And now, you, as a Max fan, you're just sitting there, don't crash. When he tried to go around the outside, or when he did go around the outside of Sainz, normally every other F1 fan, or you know, if any other driver does it, you're like, go on. No, he won't. Oh, he did. We're just like, don't crash. Why did you do that? Please don't do that.
Please don't.
But then sometimes, like, with the move like that, suddenly you get a little hint like, yeah, this guy's got it. He can do it.
And what did you see his overtake just before the hairpin? That was decent.
The one in Mirabeau. Is that the one?
Yeah.
I mean, it was against Ericsson. Just, you know.
I wouldn't care if it was the same lorry. It's still an overtake.
It's still got to get past a wide car. It's not, you know, it's still got to get past the car, whether it's Ericsson or not.
Now that you mentioned Ericsson, was it from inside his car that all the sparks were coming from the Williams? Have you seen that on board?
Leclerc. Yeah, I have, where he got...
Oh, it could have been Leclerc.
Sparks in his face.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that was ridiculous.
It's like standing directly in a firework display.
It was.
Yeah, that was mad.
It's a bit dark. Christ.
I don't know how. Okay, how would what would give me an example? Well, give me an analogy then.
Yeah.
The last thing. Can you pick?
It's
on
like
else?
No, on, it's like standing
on,
next to
an analogy. Come on. Much dark, Rickson.
Standing next to a welder without protection.
Holding a sprinkler. There you go. A sparkler. Sprinkler.
Sprinkler. What? Are you doing the grass?
Oh dear, man.
Christ.
Tyler Gardner.
Yep.
Oh well, AOR dumped you, so you got a bit gardening to do. So.
No, they haven't. That's fake news if I've ever heard fake news.
Fake news. anyway, the rest of the sort of grid, looking at the standings, Ocon and Gasly had a great result. Two Frenchmen, sixth and seventh.
Yeah.
Well.
But we can't really say anything about it because they never get any screen time.
I think Ocon did well. I think Force India have had quite a rough start to the season, and for him to go out in Monaco, and I think's a sign of good things to come for them. But Force India especially, they had a really solid season last season. Mm. It's been a pretty awful start to this season, but yeah, Ocon up there is he's very good, and Gasly as well, being up quite high in that shit Toro Rosso car as well. He's making Hartley look off. Like, we knew Hartley was just like here for the sake of being here, but yeah. I think Gasly's proving that he's going to be a future, you know,
Red Bull driver,
world champion / you know, second place or whatever, you know.
I mean, Hartley is a good driver, just not a good F1 driver.
Yeah, I mean, World Endurance Championship, he smashed it.
Exactly. So he is a good driver. He's just in the wrong car.
That's not really.
I can drive a car.
Alex can drive a car. Chuk, you can drive a car. Ken can drive. We can do it. It's not hard. Really?
You just drive it for like 5-6 hours. It's not difficult, is it? It's just a trip up to like the Lake District for me. I mean, it's difficult.
Right. Okay. Let me know in the comments below.
Yeah. They're now, wrong.
Now that we're about what's his face, Hartley. He always has like the coolest, most business-like team radios. It's always like, this is the issue, deal with it. But how do you call that guy? His crew chief? He's the one with the bit of the French accent. Eh? With the French accent. I nearly pissed myself. I was like, okay, Brendan, the car behind is Leclerc. He has an issue. 10 seconds later, he gets raped up the ass. How good was that, by the way?
Can you only talk in that accent for the rest of the podcast, please?
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness, we all know exactly how Ken
couldn't get any more fun
doing that accent.
But you know exactly who I'm on about.
Yeah, I do. You also sound very much like the Renault technical director.
Yeah.
Cyril Abbas.
Oh, God. He looks as French as I thought he would be.
Was he holding a baguette at the same time as doing the interview?
I think it might be a phone, but it could be a baguette.
Come on, guys.
I'll send you guys a picture in the chat. Just your reaction.
Oh, no, he's very French.
That is the most French thing I've ever seen. Like, he definitely...
That facial hair is the most French. That should be on every French man's face.
Definitely eats snails. That is the face of a guy who eats frogs legs and snails.
Yeah, 100%.
I'll make sure
I... His moustache gets used that
on the YouTube video.
But about the crash between Leclerc and Hartley, as we're on the topic.
Leclerc was just a passenger, wasn't he, in that crash?
Both were.
Both were, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Was it a front left brake failure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is scary. I can imagine Leclerc had brown trousers after that.
And he's got a white racing suit, so...
Yeah. Oh, God! Oh, you imagine he steps out the car, it's just a big brown stain.
I mean, in fairness, I'm not going to lie, I would. You go, all right, so I'm braking from 160, 170 miles an hour, and, all right, I'm not braking. Can you imagine?
I have to say, the rear wing from the Toro Rosso, it looked really cool. That's a cool design. Work on it.
Wobbling about as you can.
Yeah,
a flexible DRS system where it's just non-effective.
There's a little like flag on the back of the car.
Yeah, it did. It waved, didn't it? It was amazing. That was And because they were on board, weren't they? I think, were they on board of Leclerc's car? I think.
Sky they weren't. Sky they were above the. Oh no, sorry, Channel 4 they were above, from what I can remember.
I think they might have been on board because they were going, oh, Leclerc might make a move, and then he just went, oh, he's getting very close, and then just smashed into the back of him.
It was quite funny though, because I was like, okay, this is fair. He's doing well. He could score points, could. And then next thing I know, I like turn away to look at my phone, and I just hear like a smash and like Brundle going, ah!
He absolutely destroys the rear right of that Toro Rosso. There was nothing left of it. Nearly, it was ridiculous.
Anybody else noticed? Like from where they, like the base connects to the wheel, they've got like it almost looks like straw. That white like stringy.
Yeah. Well, that's what came off Ocon's car, wasn't it? When he turned into Raikkonen in Baku, it was just loads of white stuff that was going around, almost like
really?
It's the fiber composite.
Yeah, it was just really weird. I was just like. What is that?
It's essentially just the bare bones of the car, I think.
Essentially.
Yeah, it might be the cross-sectional.
Into an arrow podcast?
Yeah, any more bloody interesting.
Sorry, I did a unit on modern materials composites and had an exam.
Literally no one cares. No one cares. I'm going to be honest with you. No one gives a shit.
I mean, in fairness, Ollie, you're talking to the wrong people.
I mean, only one of the four of us actually have a degree. Well, two technically. I've got one now, but
you haven't got one yet.
I mean, I passed. I don't know what result I've got, but we'll see.
Yeah.
It all depends on the dissertation. Anyway, Williams had an absolute shocker today. The simple fact they
shit.
Forgot they didn't put the wheels on enough time. Which I'm just thinking, how long have Williams been in the sport to forget to put the wheels on in time? And that's 10 second penalty. And then you had Stroll complaining. Initially he got a puncture and he was at the back of the grid. And then he said something like, what's the point even racing?
At
the back of the grid. I'm thinking, what a bell end. You're in one of the most privileged positions. You're racing around Monaco. Your dad pays for everything. You will eventually taking over his business, will be a multi billionaire. Just grow up. It annoyed me so much.
No, I heard that and I went, you smug piece of shit.
Yeah.
And with the whole tyre thing, it's like, there are some bits you miss. But
tyres,
the four things that connect the car to the ground, that's like going on the grid and then just going, all right, the formation lap started and going, there's no driver.
Paddy Lowe said to the press, unfortunately, we suffered a wheel assembly problem on the grid. Yeah. What could be the assembly problem?
I did it wrong. Put them on. In fairness, though, they did actually suffer an issue where the wheel nut cross-threaded. So they had to run and get another wheel gun because that one didn't work. So they run all the way to the pit, all the way back. And then by that time, the 3 minutes are gone. So you should put them on, at the last minute to keep them as warm as possible. And it was just like,
For Stroll, it wouldn't matter if you put three wheels when he has a puncture.
Yeah, it's just like driving. So,
and that was very weird.
Something's wrong with the car.
He didn't let his engineer get a word in to say you've got a puncture. He goes, something's wrong about 20 times. And it's like, sure, you can see what's wrong. The fact you've got a tyre flapping around and you're sort of driving a bit to the right. It's like,
what
the hell is Stroll doing? I saw a tweet that just went, surely at this point for Williams, it's going to be worth putting Kubica in a car and just see what happens. Surely. Put him instead of Stroll.
Well, everyone, that's not part of Williams' plan this season, is it? It's been pretty obvious since the start of the season that Lance and Sergeant is because they're both pretty much pay drivers, and it just, especially Lance, they're fucking being bankrolled from Lance's dad just so he can sit and drive a car. And it is ruining their time. But let's be honest. If they had, who else would they have? Let's say they wouldn't have Massa anymore because he's called it. Whatever drivers.
Kubica.
Kubica, you've got one Pascal Wehrlein.
I'm not having it. Okay, Wehrlein. Yes, I can see why. But out of everyone in the pool of drivers that is yet to be like assigned a seat, who's still young, I do think that Wehrlein is the best bet. But even
Timo Glock.
What's Will Stevens doing these days?
I mean,
what's Max Chilton doing now?
Chilton's
yeah, IndyCar.
Oh,
was
he?
Yeah.
Will
Stevens, I think he's doing GT3s somewhere. I don't know what country he's doing it in.
Probably all over.
He was never any good anyway.
No, he wasn't.
And he was short, man. He was like 5'2". He was tiny.
That's a bit. There's no need to just start slagging him off because he's a little bit short.
Because he's short, mate.
I mean,
we're all taller than you, so
it's a personal thing.
One short here, it's you. Fucking hell.
I know. Yeah. I am short. I mean, me and
you. It's not going on about someone's weight.
Anyway, but apart from things we discussed, I can't really think of anything else that happened race-wise. I think
tires. I suppose we could go for.
The tires made it interesting.
Yeah. I think we should use Hypersofts more. I think they add like another dimension to the race. And
they're in Canada, aren't they?
I
don't know. It might be. But they did at least make it interesting, which is nice.
It would have been a very dull race. More dull than it was to start with. That they're fucking trying to do something about the tyres, though, and trying to spruce up how races are. Because I think everybody doing a one-stop every race is just so depressing to watch.
This has so far been the only one with a one-stop, hasn't it? I think. Apart from Australia, maybe?
Hypersofts will be in Canada.
All right. That makes that interesting then. Whether people will qualify on them, I don't know, because they were saying about not qualifying on them in Monaco because of the where you get them.
I think you kind of have to.
Well, it depends, because for the fast guys in Q2, Mercedes and Ferrari have done it a little bit this season. They've qualified on the harder tyre.
With Merck trying to qualify on the ultras, it clearly didn't work. Yeah. I think that says it all.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Slower. Like, even Lewis was saying, look, these tyres aren't working when he was using them during the race. These tyres aren't working. We've got to use something different. And Bottas was absolutely fucking flying on those supers.
Flying on the supers.
I think it goes back to the whole point we made after Bahrain. Like, it was a different track, but you can be safe, but then you can almost be too safe. And I think it was another instance today of Bottas being too safe and himself. You know, there was
maybe
a few moments on track where he could have caught Kimi for that like 20 lap stint where he was stuck behind him before the virtual safety car. There was definitely times where he could have made a move and just didn't.
Just put yourself up the inside just a little bit. Just
have a look. That's all he needs at least. He doesn't even have a look. Yeah, exactly. That was weird. But yeah. He didn't even have a look.
He didn't even have a look. But I think, speaking of tyres, I think I saw something that for next year, Pirelli will take three sets of tyres. It might be the Hypers, Ultras, whatever. But they will call them soft, medium, hard. So you'll get...
Doing this, man. Colours. For like the casual fan like me, I'm getting so fucked up with all this stuff.
Yeah. Just call them soft, medium, hard. They put the softs on. They put the mediums on. They put the hards on. And then they just take whatever compound they want.
You would always want them on the hards, Alex. And this is where it starts getting a bit awkward for everyone. You know what I mean? Like, anybody gets that gay joke? See if anybody gets it. Clearly not. Moving on.
I perfectly understood it, Rickson. I just didn't want to respond. Perfectly understood it. Child.
All right, yes, sir.
I like
it
hard. Oh my god.
Yeah. Anyway,
would tell joke again.
Please don't, Rickson. We might be sharing the same bed.
Completely forgot about that.
Moving on. This exclusive on the podcast.
Saving
Goodwood, money. Watch out for the podcast after Goodwood.
The morning after podcast.
What I wanted to talk about was the fact that Grid Girls were back on the grid today, even though they're banned. As well, we had Grid Boys, so we catered for all audiences. But... Is it is Is it because it's Monaco and they went, oh, they can get away with it? Is that why you're... What's everybody's opinion on it?
I think they skirted around the issue. I think they played it off well because they were holding up like tweets or something, weren't they? You know, they played it off like it wasn't
big issue.
Like it wasn't a rule, and obviously I don't think anybody's going to say anything because, like you said, Chick, it's Monaco, you know.
Mm.
Shit about fucking the most prestigious track on the calendar. So I think that's the first and last time we'll see them this season because there isn't really any other tracks, you know, for it to slide that you know that way. Difficult to call, but I think that's it. It was good. It was good to see them. There wasn't very many 10 out of 10s. There's usually a few absolute spices.
That's not what I wanted to hear.
Amazing.
I didn't want your
opinion. I was waiting for that, and it did disappoint.
I'm inclined to agree with you. There weren't many 10 out of 10s, but, you know, it was nice. I think the whole Grid Girls thing has been just thrown way out of proportion. It's just like...
Lots of 10 out of 10s have lost their jobs over this, and... There's people like me who are very sad about.
Yeah, no, very true. If you go to a race weekend, you see some racing cars and you see tents. That's just sort of part of it, surely.
No, you don't go to a Grand Prix to look at the women. You go to a Grand Prix to look at the cars. Yeah, you look at the women, you're nearly in the wrong
zone. People don't say there aren't enough women in motorsport. I say my ass.
I say fuck off, Carmen Jordan.
Look.
she definitely isn't a 10 out of 10. There's a reason she isn't in F1.
No, Carmen Dora is just plain stupid. She is an idiot. She shouldn't even be anywhere near this. So, driver and dicks of the day for everybody. Because Ken hasn't said anything about the women, Ken can start.
Okay. He'll get slapped up, so...
driver of the day, Danny Rick.
Yep.
Dick of the day... I think I'm going to go Lance Stroll. Just for his, like you said, like what you said, his ungrateful, like you're driving in Monaco, you get a seat and you don't even want to try. Get the fuck out of the car and give someone who really wants to drive for Williams, give them a chance. So he gets my dick of the season. Is it a day?
Dick of the season.
Ben, he's going to be dick of the season as well.
Right, Alex?
Driver of the day, Max Verstappen. He was at least ballsy enough to even do some overtakes, which no one barely ever did. He actually made the race slightly interesting. So I'll give it to Max Verstappen. And dick of the day... I'm going to give it to Sergei Sorokin's mechanics.
Good shout.
Good shout. In fact, I think Williams could just win Dick of the Day in general.
Yeah, I was going to say, Williams just the whole everything just about Williams. Yeah, this weekend was...
This weekend just did not fit, did it?
Yeah.
Billy Rickson.
I'm going to have to go Danny Rick for Driver of the Day. Dick of the Day, I think... It's going to have to just be Williams, just in general. Just Williams. Like, what a shambles of a race to have both your drivers two laps down around Monaco as well. Like, that's just so embarrassing, honestly. Like, and the fact that people are going to forget that happened and they're just going to play it off. Like, oh, yeah, it's just one bad season for Williams. Like,
yeah, they've had a number now.
I'm gonna go for Esteban Ocon for driver of the day. Good result for Force India. And dick of the day, I'm gonna go for Sky Sports F1. Because if you did anyone watch Sky Sports coverage?
Yeah.
The James Bond spoof.
Oh yes, god, that no, was so no, 100% no. That was Sky win dick of the day. No, awful. Sky win dick of the day.
It was atrocious.
I forgot about that.
I missed that. I'm glad I missed it.
They win that.
So essentially, Rickson, they did. So, is it, I don't know his name. Simon.
Don't watch it. Simon Laser.
Yeah, he was 007.
I can't
instead of having
it.
A gun, he had a tire.
A wheel gun.
Yeah.
I like that. That's sick.
It was just. It was just so cringy.
You got Johnny Herbert and then like Ted Kravitz
like
trying
bad,
to be
bad
like
guy. He was awful.
Bad guys. It was unbelievable.
Eek. What the hell?
I can't believe I forgot about this.
Yeah, go back and watch if anyone hasn't seen it. Just Google it on YouTube. It was.
I wouldn't recommend it, but if you really want to suffer that, what is it like? 2 minutes?
Yeah, not even that.
It's 2 minutes you'll never get back.
I mean, he also like. Then he steals the car and throws the valet around, but he like hardly touches him, and it's the fakest fall I've ever seen.
Yeah, he places him gently on the floor.
Oh dear!
Sorry, I'm stealing your car. I'll just place you over here.
Please don't talk about me when I'm gone. Oh honey, though our friendship ceases from now on.
This week we had. Well, sorry, since the last Grand Prix, we had the announcement of F1 2018, the best game in the world.
Oh, I completely forgot.
Far
that's
better than COD.
Yeah.
That was even a thing.
Was it Unleash Your Potential? Is that the slogan? Can't remember.
Is that
it? Make highlights. No, headlines.
Make headlines.
Yeah, that's the one.
Who gives a shit what the tagline is?
Yeah.
They probably spent longer doing that tagline than they did on the bloody multiplayer. So fuck off, F1.
Sorry, what's the tagline?
Anyway, make headlines, I think.
Yeah, make headlines.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
What's the point of the tagline? Who cares? Spend time on the game.
I think we've discussed the actual game and what we want in it many a time on the podcast. I don't really want to go into it. Sort of just pick it up.
That's the entire podcast in itself.
Yeah, we've done it multiple times over the last, I don't know how long, discussing the game. But I think August release, I think it is. So, personally, I'm not going to buy it until I see some solid proof that it's a good game, because it's a joke.
And until I see some multiplayer improvements and a Braun GP car in the game, I'm not buying it.
I'm not. You just aren't. It's going to be another part of wank. Why are we talking about it like we know it's going to be good?
It might be Richard. Stop ruining our hopes.
You know it's bad when Codemasters are reaching out to people to say, can you talk nice about the game before it comes out? I'm just like
no, it's true. It's because so many people talk shit like you.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I'm happy to say that I don't want to suck like Lee Mather's bald head to get a free copy or whatever, like.
Yeah,
he's a shiny bald head. It's just embarrassing. I think they have to smash it this year to redeem themselves from it. The last 3 years of the game have just been shocking. 2017 was much better than 15, and it wasn't as good as 16. But I think
16, the multiplayer was actually half decent. You could have decent online. Decent races.
Yeah, but look at the words we're using. We pay 60 quid for a game to use words like playable and half decent.
I want everyone. Kev has summed up the F1 franchise of the game in literally like one sentence.
I want F1 2018 just to be a stable online game with dedicated servers or whatever it's called. And just
cost money, and they're not gonna do that.
and a career mode that doesn't bore me after 3 Grand Prix or something, because it was like, oh, new R&D, great. And I swear to God, if they leave it in the R&D as it was in F1 2017, I'm not even
take it out or shorten it, because I think for me,
shorten it, it's just ridiculous.
I'll do the practice sessions, and then I'll be like, oh shit, I've still got to do qualifying and the race.
I do the practice sessions. I go, I can't bother for this. Do a quick qualifying. I'll leave the race till tomorrow. What's the point?
Do you know what they could do? I know Motorsport Manager does it. I know a totally different game, but you can just sim the qualifying and sim parts of it, and they go, oh, that'd be great. So it does it for you, but it could go bad. It could go good. So it's sort of your luck of the draw. I think that would be a good addition.
It would make a great series, wouldn't it?
Just like FIFA, you just sim the game. You sim the games in career mode.
I mean, you can send the race in F1 2017, so I don't know why you can't send the qualifying. That'd be a wicked show.
You can send... Or you can just leave... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Canada.
Yeah.
Got a while to wait. But Canada always throws up a fantastic Grand Prix, whatever the conditions. Hopefully we have rain, because we've had some fantastic Grand Prix over the years when rain has happened. 2011. Yeah, 2011, yeah. Justin Button. I think everyone's looking forward to it, really, aren't we?
Yeah. It'd be a bit better than Monaco.
Yeah, it's just another Grand Prix, isn't it, really?
Like, I mean, thanks, Jackson. Thanks for your opinion.
I think it's going to be.
How are you doing on this podcast?
Say that Max is shit every single week until Ken finally gives in and starts shouting at me. I think it's going to be good because Canada's always pretty good to watch, as long as there's a good crash.
You're literally the plastic of all the plastic of all fans.
As long as Stroll smashes into someone, then you're happy.
I just need Max that crash, and I need a Lance Stroll whiny team radio. Oh. I'll be happy, man. I'll be happy.
No more crashes from Max.
Being 8 out of 10 race for the New York, wasn't it?
Very good race for me.
Amazing. I mean, if you want the voice of reason on this podcast, look no further.
I am single-handedly the words of wisdom like that.
Anyway, predictions. Actually, Corda, we did quite well. We got the predictions right. We got one of them right. I can't remember what we actually said. We didn't write them down.
We got pole right, and I think we said win. Ricardo, Hamilton, Verstappen, I think.
Verstappen had to ruin it, didn't he?
And then Verstappen and then Vettel decided to show up. Ken.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm going to blame the solely on Ken, so fuck you, Ken.
So, predictions-wise, right, there's a cat outside my door and it won't go away.
Just let it sit on your lap.
It's not my cat, Alex. Why would I?
What? Yeah, but it's a cat.
Just let some random stray cat sit on you. Yes, please.
I'm sure it's a lovely cat. It just wants to sit on your lap. I don't know.
I've never seen it before. Right, it's fucked off now. Right, there we go.
Mate, you need some pussy in your lap, so calm down.
Oh, right. That was very good.
Wasted, Ben. Shit. Okay, Alex, I applaud you for that one. That was your first ever good joke. Congratulations.
To be fair.
I don't know. The Papa came on was quite good last season.
The fact you have to relate to last season for your last good joke shows a
bit. But last year,
bollocks. I think it shows that how good the racing is, how bad we are, and the fact that we haven't got a single prediction right in 32 podcast episodes.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty bad, isn't it?
Well, if Grid Watchers podcast would have a tagline, it would be "There's always next week."
Yes. Next week we'll get it right.
Yeah, maybe next time. Yeah. So Alex, you can start us off with the proceedings of predictions for Canada.
All right, I'm gonna mix it up. Bottas pole.
Oh, what?
No. All right,
we are actually trying to like.
Mate, you gotta mix it up. Bottas pole. Hamilton win. Bottas second, Verstappen third.
Okay, can someone write them down because we don't forget we did last week.
Okay.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Ken's got them, okay, fantastic.
Do that again, say again. So you had Bottas for pole.
Bottas pole, Hamilton win, Bottas second, Verstappen third.
And Verstappen third.
Okay, Semba?
I'm going to go Vettel for pole. Vettel to win. Hamilton second, and Ricardo third.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Rickson.
I'm gonna go Vettel pole, Vettel win, Hamilton second.
Oh, what? What was that? Hamilton?
No. I know.
Hamilton's
not
winning. What has happened to you?
I feel like we need somebody needs to get something right here, so I'm trying to get the one right for a change. Because as soon as Alex and it's been 32 podcasts and we've never got anything, I'll be like, right, we need to get something now. So let's take this serious for a change and see what we can get.
So that was Vettel, Hamilton, what was your third?
Right.
Rickson?
Bit of a shock there. Oh, I said Kimmy. Did nobody hear me? Oh,
no, he didn't hear you.
Okay. No one heard you. I said Kimmy.
You've actually gone for Kimmy after... Oh, bloody hell. He slays me for so long and then goes Kimmy himself.
Right. Well, I'm going to do a Rickson and say Hamilton for pole. Hamilton to win. Hamilton's won many a time.
Welcome to the GOAT squad. You have finally risen to the level of me.
So Hamilton Poland win, Vettel second, and as much as Slate Bottas, he's going to be my P3.
Wow.
Okay, that's an interesting spread.
It is
an interesting spread.
It is, yeah. So let us know your predictions below as well. Finally, we're going to talk about our F1 Fantasy League, the Grid Watchers Podcast F1 League.
It's updated, so we can talk about it this week.
Yay. So we still got Burnout Racing at the top and Ted Pett F1 Racing Team in second. And funny enough, right, Alex is third and I'm fourth. So we're cheating.
I mean, we do a podcast because we know about F1, but I didn't think that me and you would be in the top four.
We're not meant to be winning this. Well, sorry, winning. Doing well.
I mean, for the first time, I hope I don't win this. Because there is no way you're handing over your money.
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah.
Also, the top five from the bottom, there we find Rickson with his team.
Do you have to?
In 25th position.
25th place.
It's basically me and then the rest of the casual fans. the bottom fans. 10. It's just everybody's casual fans.
Oh, we didn't mention it before, but Ryan Racing, who's in last, actually managed to score -4 in the first week.
He did. Score -4 points, and he still isn't that far away from Rickson. So,
right, Alex.
Jack, I think you need to bite your ears up a little bit. How's your team looking at the moment? So, I mean, you've got Haas. We've been pointing this out. You've got Haas.
Yeah, I'd recommend changing Haas out as your constructor. The thing is, you only change one thing a week.
You can change one constructor and one driver. So
No, you can. It's either or. Sorry, either one. You can't do driver.
My issue is where I am at the moment. It's because I've got Lewis and Seb. They're taking up like a massive chunk of my drivers.
Yeah.
If I want to eventually
get you 68 points.
So Haas are the cheapest one. They cost 6 mil. Right. If I take out Haas, I can't afford any other like team, so I have to go back to Haas. So if I take out a driver and I want to get like Red Bull, I have to take out Lewis, which I'm risking potentially a couple of race wins.
Yeah, yeah. I think in fairness, mate, I think it needs to get good, but whatever.
And then we've got Ken down in 19th, so. You're better than last week. That's the important thing. You're improving, Ken.
I've got a well-balanced team.
I mean, if it was well-balanced, then you'd be further up the order. But
yeah, well-balanced. Just Perez... slightly ahead of Respawn.
Yeah, but Perez keeps screwing me and Rickson over.
Perez's got 54 points. He's got some decent amount of points so far.
Well, I got naught.
I got him in for next race. So they better turn up, is what I'm going to say.
18. Oh, yeah, he did get some points. Oh, no, wait, it's Hülkenberg who's been the twat.
Oh, yeah,
minus 16 in the first race, minus 28, because I had him as my turbo
driver. He's got minus 6 points so far this season, so you'd have been better if you didn't have him in your team at all. So.
No, I just swapped him out for next week. I put Carlos Sainz in there.
We probably shouldn't be giving away tactics on the podcast, but, you know, we want one of you guys to do well.
About 20 people watch this, man. Nobody's going to care.
Rickson, I just looked at, if you just looked at Monaco alone, you came last. Sorry, John. You had a horrible weekend.
Oh, that is savage.
It's Haas, I'm telling you. It's Haas. Although saying that, that is one of my highest scoring weeks, I think.
Oh my god, he did. He came joint last.
Yeah. Oh dear. Oh dearie, dearie me.
Anyway. Actually, Ryan Racing came first. Hold on. Shout out to Ryan Racing for coming first this week, despite having minus 40 odd points in the first week.
How?
He actually came first this week. So.
Oh, Ocon. Nice one. So, oh, he's got a very well balanced team.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, I think that rounds off for today's podcast. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. Don't forget to check us out all on social media. It will be down below. Don't forget to subscribe and follow us on YouTube and iTunes. And we'll see you in 2 weeks' time for the Canadian Grand Prix. Good night.